Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is February the 22nd, 2023, and today we have Rob West and Tanisha Schau from Delaware. Well, Tanisha's from Delaware Fatherhood and Family Coalition, right?
Yes.
And Rob, you're just a man about town. You're just working with everybody.
Everybody.
Well, yeah, so, you know, Rob and I, we go way back. Rob has, you know, found half my guests for this podcast, which I think is awesome because it means we sort of think of the same way, you know, promoting small business, the hustlers, the guys out there, guys and gals out there, you know, taking that leap of faith, trying to, you know, start a business on their own. And it's great to hear their stories. And today you've brought a new friend, and I'm very excited to hear what Tanisha Schau has to say from Delaware Fatherhood and Family Coalition. But we won't focus on you, Tanisha. We won't stress. Don't get worried. You sound great, though.
Thank you.
So how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
So what do we want to talk about today?
So we wanted to talk a little bit about the Delaware Fatherhood and Family Coalition, and I just wanted to give an overview and then mention one of the programs that we have to offer to the men in Sussex County.
Do you want to share how you got involved with this program?
Yeah, sure. So first I was a volunteer for the program for about, I think it was 4 or 5 years. And then the position came available for the project coordinator and I applied for it. And I got the position, of course, and I did it for 3 years and then I stopped for 2 and I came back.
Now, is there often volunteer opportunities for people at this organization, or was this just something you got lucky that you got to be involved in, or are you always looking for volunteers and people to help out?
Yeah, we're always looking for volunteers, always. People from organizations, individuals, schools, no matter what, we're looking for volunteers.
That's awesome. And so yes, that's how you got involved. And I, you know, I volunteered for a few things. We were just talking about it. Some of the best experiences I've ever had in my life was the ability to volunteer and be part of something, whether like the last thing I did was Shellville, and all of a sudden I feel like I work for Shellbrother. I'm like, this is awesome, you know. And it's just, yes. I think the fact that it's volunteering, right? I mean, you're not getting paid, which, you know, immediately people are like, no pay. But there's something about the volunteering that's more, it's better than money,
yeah,
right? So
yeah,
that's awesome. So you volunteered and then you got an opportunity. So that's really
yes,
cool.
Yep.
And so we got, so 2 years in it, you left for 2 years and then came back because you missed it.
No.
Oh, they needed you.
They needed me. Yeah, they needed me.
That's awesome. So what was it like when you came back?
It was a little bit different because the program was structured in a different way. So it was hard trying to transition because in my mind, I already had ideas of what I wanted to happen. But when I got there, things have changed. So right, it was kind of, the transition was a little bit hard. But now I feel like I like the program more how it is now.
Now, was this something that was prior? Because now, you know, for a while, we're always going to have this pandemic thing that sort of sets right in our timeline of life. So was the program different prior to it is now? I mean, how is it hanging in there? How did it hang in there during the pandemic? You know, because a lot of things really struggled. And so we're coming out of this. I know for just as a human, I'm sort of finding myself still to this day trying to figure out where I am. I know businesses are trying to figure out a lot of where we are, the new landscape. Was there a difference, a change?
I'm not sure. I wasn't there during the pandemic at all, so I don't know, like, the effects of it. But from the time that I was there the previous 3 years, it changed in a way where they want it to be more of like a program and the coalition supports the program instead of just being a coalition.
Right.
And that's how it was the first 3 years. But now it's more of a program inside of the coalition.
Well, talk about the program. So I love the name, obviously, Delaware Fatherhood and Family Coalition. So it's obviously about fatherhood and family, which I am both. I love it. My favorite job in the world is being a dad. So can you just talk about the program and you try to achieve and problems that we try to fix.
Yes. So the part of the DFFC, the volunteer portion of it, our mission, the Delaware and Fatherhood Family Coalition, is an extension of promoting safe and stable families and the Responsible Fatherhood Initiative, created specifically to give fathers a voice and to share the importance of their involvement in the well-being of their children. The DFFC believes in the power of fatherhood and stable families where children are not at risk. So that's the part of the coalition that actually supports the program. That's where the volunteers come in, and we do community work. We do initiatives every month to try to get fathers more engaged with their children. And we know that sometimes finances can be a barrier, so everything that we do for the public is free.
Yeah.
So that we can eliminate that barrier. But inside of the coalition, we have a program called 24/7 Dad. And this program is geared directly toward men. And it's a voluntary comprehensive fatherhood program designed to help men improve their parenting skills and their fathering knowledge. The program focuses on building self-awareness, self-caring, and parenting, fathering, and relationships through 12 weeks, or it can be condensed into 8 weeks. So while the fathers are in this program, we try to help them if they need help with applications to get an apartment. We try to pay for that. If they need help with getting their license, we assist them with that. If they need resources, we assist them with that. So as they're going through this program, to actually help them work on themselves, we're working on the other side.
Yeah, to try to assist them. And tackling some of those things that you're offering help with. I mean, you know, sometimes it can be just like a license, right, or something, and it just is over your head the whole time, this like umbrella. You know, like, God, if I could just get this. And sometimes if there's a, you know, a group that can come in, help you, and just get past this one hurdle.
Exactly.
You're like, oh my God, what a big relief. Yeah. You know, and I'll just, you know, as a father of three, you know, my biggest challenge, I think, for becoming a fatherhood was surrendering to the fact of my life prior to being a father.
Exactly.
You know, it is tough to have a foot in the life I had prior to having kids and trying to have a foot into the life of having kids and trying to have some sort of, you know, things run smoothly. It's tough. You know, and I just basically surrendered, gave up the idea of ever having, like, you know, this fun life of not being a dad and enjoying the life of being a father. And since when I did that, I was like, man, I mean, I love being a dad. It was never a challenge for me. I think it's the best. I think we should all be parents if we can do it, you know, if we can do it responsibly. But it's my favorite thing that I do in a day. So I think it was just surrendering that old life. You know, and you know, welcoming the new one, which is, you know, getting up in the middle of the night with your kids, getting up early, fixing breakfast. All Rob is like shaking.
That's all the fun stuff, Tom.
That's but you know, I mean, I always say the one of the worst things that happened to me is I spend a half an hour building this amazing lunch for my children, and none of them thank me. Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, how was that lunch? Did you notice the pepper? You know, it was a, and. So it's a thankless, sometimes it's a little thankless, right?
Yeah.
But I think it is the greatest gift to be a parent.
Yeah. And it's hard. I feel like being the project coordinator, sometimes the fathers come in and you see how, like, what I would consider to be a small thing, how it's such a burden for them, like you said, just getting your license. And they're just like, I need help, you know, with getting your license. So to be able to actually help them, and you can either, you can do this, the sessions either in a group setting or you can do it one-on-one. Some people don't feel comfortable sharing certain things, you know, in front of everybody. So we kind of meet them where they are. So if we can't meet in the office, we'll come to your house. We'll go out to a restaurant, whatever makes them feel comfortable. We just really want to empower the men in our community.
Do you find it? I know when I became a father, actually, and I've shared this before about being sober and, you know, a big portion of my life change was digging out all the wreckage from the past, right? And trying to clean that up because until I could do that, it was hard for me to move forward. Is that, do you see that a lot? Is it sometimes just trying to help people clean up some stuff and then, you know, freeing up their life a little bit and then they can move on a little freer?
That's what it is. I see that a lot. It's just like the old thing. Like they want to be this new person, but it's so much of the old person that's holding them back. So that's what we do. We try to help them to clean it up.
Yeah.
And try to give them like a process. And we also hold them accountable. So we say to them, like, we'll do our part, but you have to do your part. If you want to take the driving test to get your license, you have to study. And we do like follow-up checks and everything just to make sure everybody is being accountable for, you know, their part.
Accountable is a huge word.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a big deal. And accountability is, I think, something that a lot of people are missing right now.
Yeah.
And we end up being a lot of victims here. And speaking victimese, and it's very it gets very old.
Yes.
You know, and I love the fact that you're not doing everything for people. You're assisting. Exactly. You know, you're guiding. And, you know, that's, you know, I shared this with Rob this morning that I went for a run. You know, everything was telling me not to, right? And then I went ahead and I pushed through it. Just, you know, whether, you know, it's maybe not a great comparison, but you push through it and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, what a miracle. And some of these little things, you know, can just the drive down to Georgetown can be enough to, you know, have people avoid taking on this task that they got to fix. But once you get pushed through it and you get it fixed, you're like, oh my God, what a relief.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just enough.
And also too, Tom, like one of the biggest issues is, you know, when people start hearing, oh, there's another program, they start backpedaling a little bit. And I've seen the 24/7 Dads program. It's phenomenal. I think, most guys need to do it even if they don't think they do.
Right.
Like, you don't have to have a bunch of issues to take it. You don't have to have a bunch of drama going on. Like, it's just good to retain more information on how to do different things differently.
Yeah.
And I think that once people start hearing it in that, you know, kind of verbiage like that, I think it's easier to get people to register to be a part of 24/7 Dads. And then once you start hearing all of the endless possibilities and options, resources and things that are available, once you start getting into it, you're like, oh, wow. I might have a cousin that doesn't have license, you know, and that program is attached to other programs because First Aid Community Action has a lot of offices, right?
Yes.
So depending on what you need at a certain point in time, you know, there might be another avenue of networking that might be available for you to help with an additional need that the 24/7 Dads might not be able to supplement.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's phenomenal. I just encourage men to just do it just for the sake of doing it. And if you can get a group session where, you know, I mean, Tanisha and them are great. They, you know, they'll buy you coffee and they'll hang out with you.
Is that true?
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
she's like,
there are sessions where they, you know, buy pizza to try to make everybody feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like I said, once you start going through the process and you feel like, oh, this isn't work, these people aren't trying to change me.
Right.
They're just trying to offer me information of things that I might not know. Then, like, it kind of breaks down the barriers and it makes the course easier to take. So,
well, and I think that's a great point. You know, sometimes when something's presented to you, right, and you're like, ah, wow, that's a pretty good idea. Instead of somebody saying, hey, you have to do this, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I've been, you know, I do a couple podcasts and sort of this other podcast I've been doing, the theme has been I get to, right? You know, as a person that just at 54, I started looking back through my life and I'm thinking, gosh, a lot of the decisions that I made in my life were based sort of out of fear. You know, like, I got to do this. I got to go to school. I got to get an education. Yeah. I got to get a job. And it's just, I'm not a victim of it, but it kind of sets me in a victim-y sort of place where, you know, I'm big into Egypt right now. I'm watching a lot of stuff on Egypt because I get to, right? It's there. I'm very interested, but I remember in school when I had to learn about Egypt, I didn't care. I was like, I don't want to learn about history because I'm having to. And so when you get to, when something's presented to the opportunity that you get to do it, sometimes we see it a little clearer. And that's, I mean, I think that's an awesome idea, especially, and I think that is one of the differences I've noticed since the pandemic was, you know, I'm not going to say it was officially like this, but it seems like people were wanting to help just get you through it, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially my kids, like in school, they're like, you can take a retest. I'm like, we never got retests. We got a D, right? But they're like, you can take a retest. And if that didn't work, take another one. Let's let you learn.
Yeah.
Instead of like this passive kind of aggressive fear. It's like, the point is we need education, right? Some kids just don't learn as well. So they offer a lot of opportunities to not fail, which I think is really cool.
And I seen something on the news this morning when I was watching it was saying that don't punish your kids for getting an F.
Right.
Right? You know, how can we help you? You know, change the verbiage, change the energy in the room, and allow the kids to understand that, hey, listen, mom's not like really like ready to take my head off, but she's willing to like dig her heels in and help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just to see if you can get different results. We have to try different things. Mm-hmm. This is pretty cool.
Well, and listen, the conversation was just had recently about how, you know, I come from a family of amazing parents, amazing, but they just helped me so much. And it sort of crippled me a little bit because I relied on it, you know, when it's like, it's finding the balance of helping someone, but allowing someone to also do it on their own. Because too much help becomes toxic. Mm-hmm. Not enough help can be become toxic. It's really, it's that fine line, that right? Balance. Especially when you find a lot of people that unfortunately get down have had a lot of help, right? It's sort of they've relied on it. And when the help goes away, they're sort of lost. And that was sort of what happened to me. I'm like, who's going to wash my clothes, right? You know, it's it was that. My mom washed my clothes for a long, like my 10 and 11 year old both do their laundry today.
Yeah.
Which I, you know, I don't want to make that sound special, but that's what they do. And I didn't do mine at 10 and 11. So, you know, I feel like we're seeing a little bit of allowing people to be more responsible.
Yeah.
Are they excited about doing their laundry?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
No. Not they don't see the greatness in it,
but they know how to do it, so
they know how to do it. And well, my son Sam, I'm like, is that your clean clothes in that basket from Monday? Oh, he's like, yes. I go, put it in the dryer, fluff it, put it away. You know, it's nobody's perfect, but we're trying.
But when they get to college, they'll know, right?
They'll know, yeah.
I don't know, we'll see. My 17-year-old, he's getting ready to go to college and he does his own laundry too.
Temple.
Yep.
Nice.
Temple. Temple University. We'll see. Stressful.
Nice. Stressful for who, you?
It's stressful because it's a lot of money. And I hate that. I hate that it's a lot of money, and I hate that he's going to be committing to all that money making at 17.
Yeah.
I hate that. I think it's, you know, college shouldn't be $100,000.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but we're going to get through it one day at a time.
One day at a time.
So, Rob, what is it? I mean, you signed me up for something that, I'm going to have to buy basketball shorts, or do I have to play, or am I, how do these two ships come together?
So, first of all,
the Rehoboth Social Podcast.
I used to be a part of the Fatherhood Coalition.
Right.
A lot of my good friends were a part of it, and we helped grow and develop the program. Tanisha was there, and we were killing it. I mean, we were impacting. We were helping kids out. We were reaching out to the community. And, you know, over time, you know, everybody starts going their own ways, and, mm-hmm. and things happen. So, you know, the group split, and then Tanisha's back, and it's just like, breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
You know, so what happens is we're getting all of our people involved. You know,
the coalition's coming back together.
Yeah.
I said, Tom, you got to come, you know?
Yeah. I would, I'd love to.
With that being said, what we're doing is our big event that, you know, has been buzzing through Instagram and Facebook called the Ballers Classic.
Mm.
So Making a Difference Coalition is putting this event on. Our mission remains the same. We advocate for our youth and young adults to pursue postgrad education, but in a heave to, you know, bring different things here and help developing the culture and different, you know, aspects. We decided to do a basketball event 4 years ago, and it's evolved into this this great thing.
Well, this is so. It's the Delaware Fatherhood and Family Coalition, mm-hmm. and then your coalition is the
Making a Difference Coalition.
Making a Difference Coalition. Absolutely. Two coalitions coming together.
Yeah. Nice. So, you know, one thing that I've learned over the years, and just from being a observer and learning from the older generation, is that as years go by, programs that were once together and really tight fall apart at the seams based on the relationship being built on, you know, the heads of each program. But when those heads get older and say they pass away or something like that, what is keeping these organizations together, right?
Right.
So literally, it comes down now to can Make It a Difference Coalition's mission line up with the Fatherhood Coalition mission? They advocate for co-parenting, safe and stable homes, you know, all things that we believe and hold near and dear to us.
Yeah.
And in a heave to advocate for youth and young adults, you can't leave out the parental component, right?
Yeah.
You know, there has to be a cohesive, you know, relationship. And if there isn't any relationship, there has to be individuals in the community, such as myself and like Tanisha and like you, Tom, to fill the gaps and say, hey, listen, son, you might not have, you know, everything in front of you, but if you need help, I'm here.
Right.
You know, and that's pretty much like what we try to stand on, just filling the gap for those individuals who don't have the resources, the networking, and the equal opportunity that other people have. Because
when you guys are sort of working, you're sort of working with fathers, right? And you're sort of working with
Kids.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because this, I mean, you've been on the podcast before. You've done several events.
Absolutely. And even with Lyft, like, you know, yeah. the missions are all Michigan. Pretty similar. You know, we want to educate, you know, people who are at risk, right? We want to increase the value of where our kids potentially are now and where they want to go and how we can help them get there.
Yeah.
And the same thing with fathers, like, you know, like broken homes, you know, how many single parent homes are out there? Mm-hmm. When I grew up, there was a lot of them, almost mm-hmm. every home.
Well, and so, sometimes the difference between the kid and the father isn't much.
It isn't much, right?
I mean, sometimes the same thing.
Because yeah. sometimes you're cut from the same cloth. Right? So, you know.
Or sometimes you're just a super young father.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's happening a lot yeah. too. So,
well, I just went to the Stevenson house, and you know, some of the kids were letting me know when I did some poetry for the kids recently that their grandmothers listened to like hard, nasty music. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, oh man, wow. But then I had to think like, oh, these kids are like 14. Their grandmothers are in their 30s. Yeah. So,
right.
you know what I mean? Like, you know, we got to be better role models, right?
Right. So grandmothers aren't 80 anymore.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the reality, right? So, you know, our kids our babies are having babies, right?
Mm.
Younger people are having kids earlier. And that means aunts and uncles are possibly to some of our 14, 15-year-olds in their 20s.
Yeah.
In their 30s. And you know how that is, Tom.
Yeah.
You're figuring out life and character issues and mm-hmm. trying to navigate through life at 20, 30, not really knowing who you are because nobody's told you,
yeah.
you know.
Well, I always say we want to try to build character, not characters.
Hey man, I heard you say it 100 times yeah, on the podcast.
Like, it is that simple.
Yeah. So in a heave to do that, we've developed this Ballers Classic event, and it's phenomenal. We're up to 128 kids participating.
Oh, good.
60-plus from Maryland versus 60-plus from Delaware. From the bottom of Indian River all the way to the top of Wilmington, to the bottom of, well, let's just say Salisbury, to the top of the Kent Island Bay Bridge.
So this is like really a competition.
Yeah, it turned into a Maryland versus Delaware event. It allows our kids here in Delaware to play against kids that they might not get to play against frequently or that they hear about. You know, you look at all of the news and all of the, you know, they're airing all the sports, and our Delaware kids are looking at these kids in Salisbury play all day long.
Yeah.
You know, now the Delaware kids are getting a lot of airtime, so those Maryland kids are looking at our Delaware kids play, and they say, man, I wish I can play against them guys.
Right.
So we created it. We made it happen, and it's actually turned out to be phenomenal. We had 1,500 to 1,700 people show out last year.
Oh, my God.
This year, we're anticipating 2,000-plus. But what we've done is really unique. Because the whole mission is about creating opportunities. And when people come into the Ballers Classic on March 25th at Cape and Lopen High School.
March 25th.
At 9 a.m., you know what they're going to see?
That's almost 1 month away.
1 month away. 1 month away. Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing that they're going to see is they're going to see a lot of Making a Difference Coalition.
Okay.
Right? So they're going to walk into a vendors expo, which is called Journeys, Pathways, and Alternative Solutions.
Okay.
Because we need to be more than sports. We need to be more than basketball, yeah. more right. than football, more than baseball, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you live in Sussex County. You know how it is. Like, it's either D1 or bust, right?
Yeah.
But no, their kids very rarely have a alternative solution. They all very rarely have a different pathway that they can say, if this sports doesn't work, I can do this.
What was the other basketball program we used to have here back in the day, like 90s? Remember, it was the big that
Slammed Into the Beach.
Was that what it was?
Slammed yeah. Into the so beach? It still exists. There were the Hoopall Classic now. Hoopall Classic Slammed Onto the Beach. Absolutely.
Is this going to be sort of like that?
No, it's not. It's completely different. So what the Slammed Onto the Beach is they bring kids from other schools from other states okay. here so that our kids have an opportunity to see more high volume basketball. So when I was younger, I got to see LeBron James play. I got to see Tyson Chandler, Carmelo Anthony play here, you know, which literally would have never happened because.
Wait a minute, parents, LeBron's been here?
Yeah, LeBron's been here.
Well, okay.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
The King's been here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that.
Yes.
The King's been here.
LeBron's been here. Kyrie Irving's high school used to come every year. It was huge. Mm. It was huge. And that's when Cape had that crazy, enormous gym and used to fit crazy amount of people. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember the
old Cape.
Yeah, it was, but I also remember that it sort of kind of, you know, undermined itself. It got sort of big, and it seemed like a lot of people were involved, and it started to have some struggles. I don't know the politics of it. I'm just wondering, you know, could this 2,000 people is a lot. It's a big event. I mean, that's like
decent size. There can always be more, Tom.
Sure, but I'm just saying how it's it. This is. I forget if that was about trying to. I didn't remember if like colleges used to come here and look at these kids play.
College coaches have been here. I've seen Patrick Ewan. I've seen a lot of collegiate.
So was that more about trying to get kids into a basketball career?
Well, what happens is when you get those top athletes coming here,
yeah,
they come along with, you know, some baggage.
Uh-oh.
And those, you know, scouts are trying to recruit these kids.
Right.
And you got to figure when LeBron James was playing in high school, you know, kids weren't getting paid.
Mm-mm.
Right. And now the NIL's here where kids have an opportunity to get paid in some high schools and even colleges or endorsed by companies.
Dude, I watched Radio Row for the Super Bowl the last week yep. before Super Bowl. I mean, I never seen so many kids pushing products. They were, you know, I love Pat McAfee show, and he had all these college kids coming in. One guy said, Bush beans. He brought a can of Bush beans. I'm like, so yeah, these young kids that are not in the NFL, just coming out of college, have a career. I mean, these guys are making good money, and they haven't even stepped onto an NFL field yet.
Absolutely. Or NBA. NBA
or
court.
NBA court.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, this is the new thing. It's the new wave. So just imagine 20 years ago. Like, so LeBron James is what, 38, 39? Like, mm-hmm. So literally, he played at Slam Dunk the Beach, and he was that guy. He was him.
Yeah.
You know, he was everything we expected and more.
Well, I think he had a buzz. There was a buzz on him, like, coming out of middle school, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, he was like the new age Zion Williams back then, yeah. Right? So I just can't even imagine him, you know, all of the colleges were there checking him out, you know.
So will this thing, do you think this will turn into a thing? I mean, is this the first year of it?
No, this is the fourth year. This is the fourth year. So this will be the second year we held it at Cape and Open High School. If it becomes a thing, it becomes a thing. But sure. I don't want us to lose sight of the mission.
Right.
The mission is to continue to cultivate the ground so that our kids have an opportunity to know, A, what the next level looks like. B, I can finally possibly have an opportunity to have a college coach see me because, you know, in Sussex County, in Kent County, you know, our kids don't really get exceptional film. Mm. They don't have a lot of great promotion, right? Unless you're a generational player, right. You know, that literally everybody in the country wants. There's one kid that's playing an event over in Maryland named Antoine Wilson. You know, colleges are all over him.
Mm.
You know, he's going to play D1. We have a guy in Delaware at Seaford High School, Brent Ricketts. He's going to go D1. Colleges are all over him. You know, but could there be more colleges?
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, the theory and the theme of the Ballers Classic is that if one player gets a look from a college coach, we all get a look. So for the players who don't have a lot of offers or who are potential unsigned seniors, you know, they have an opportunity to get a look from a college that's probably never seen them. Probably hasn't seen any film on them, probably doesn't even know who they are.
Mm.
So the idea of what we're doing is to try to get kids more opportunities to, A, get exposure, B, play at the next level, and, you know, three, you know, we're trying to teach them how to carry themselves when the opportunity comes.
Like, character.
You know, character, right? Yeah. How to talk in front of the camera, how to, you know, articulate the right way. So.
Well, I had a couple guys. I think we had four guys in here that were headed to the combine, the NFL combine.
With Mike from Outtrain.
Yeah.
You know?
And dude, that was amazing. I mean, listen, you know, these guys are, you know, amazing. I was in awe, you know, because I'm like, I'm a big fan of football. And so these guys are all going to the combine. They got to come on the podcast. I'm like, glad I started a podcast. It was really a cool moment. And
so what is a combine?
So, and that's funny that you asked that because my wife said, what's a combine? Yeah. And I'm assuming it's a combination of a lot of different tests, right?
Absolutely.
Is that why, is it just short from combination of a bunch of tests?
Yep. So they pretty much measure you in every aspect.
Yeah.
And
jumping,
pretty
much, running.
Yep. It gives the college scouts and, you know, the people who are looking to recruit players an opportunity to see, like, you know, who's jumping out of the box or who has, you know, the highest vertical, who can run the fastest.
I think, is the combine this week?
They've been doing a lot of different things because Mike just took a bunch of players.
I think
those players
might be this week.
Last week.
Oh, was it last week?
I think he took a lot of players last week.
Okay. I think that's so cool.
And I'm itching to know how they did because
I do too.
They've been working super hard.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, again, in Sussex County, more opportunities are being made because of guys like Mike and Outtrain, who basically has said, you know what, I'm going to use my networking system and I'm going to help somebody else.
Yeah. Well, Delaware used to be kind of a place, like, oh, you're in Delaware? Oh, well, that's not going to work out because there wasn't a lot of opportunity here. I mean, we're starting to see more and more things come, you know, as our area gets filled with more people. I mean, it's, you know, infrastructure can be roads, but can also be, you know, programs and coalitions and different things like that. So
absolutely.
That's really cool.
Yep. So one of the big things that we're hitting on this year is that when people come to the event in the morning to support the first game, which is the eighth grade elite, is when they hit that lobby, there's going to be an eclectic group of vendors there. We're up to like 25 vendors, all kind of vendors, mental health with some behavior health, Fatherhood Coalition, First Aid Community Action, Pathways to Success. We got Responsible College
Sarah
Advocates.
Sarah Gilmore. She's awesome.
We also have some, we reached out to a couple scouting programs like First Aid Prep. First Aid Prep will be there. We got a guy named Daniel Mills from First Aid Sports. He pretty much logs and notates everything and makes it go viral, Twitter, Instagram. FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Bob Bennett and company will be there along with Delaware State Police, Army National Guard, Department of Corrections. I mean, we're putting together an eclectic group of vendors that can offer information and resources to our community and our kids that possibly could impact them immediately.
Right.
So when have you ever been to a sporting event and walked up on a vendor's expo, right?
Right.
And a few vendors have asked me, like, hey, Rob, why is, say, John Glow going to stop to a mental health table or some behavior health at an event? See, what we're going to do is we're making a passport. And that passport suggests that, hey, listen, everybody that comes in, we're going to try to get you a passport. And if you hit all of these vendors that are listed on the passport and you get information from them and you learn about what products and services that they offer, then you'll be in line to receive a gift of some substantial interest.
Right.
You know, what if you could fill out a passport term when you got there and pass it, give it to me, and you could win a Marriott hotel stay for one night for you and your wife?
I'm in.
You're in, right?
Yeah.
You want a $50 gift card to a restaurant like Eden or the Blue Moon.
Let's go.
You know?
50? I mean, that's not quite. That's 50.
Tip. 50. Tom, now listen, the whole idea behind this, we don't want you to cover your whole tab.
Of five. We don't eat out anymore. We are at home. I'll take that for, I can get some bread and steak.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, but you know, the reality of it is that if you get a $50 gift card for doing nothing but just going around to a table and getting information about vendors who are there, information that you probably never known about, right? And you receive a $50 gift card. You know, it's twofold. We're helping our local restaurants and hotels get people to cross their lease line. Now, when you cross their lease line, they got to do their job. They got to give you great service at the restaurant. And you got to have a good hotel stay night. You know, it's got to be good service at the front desk so that you can establish a relationship. And you say, hey, next time we want to go away, we're going to go here because we really like that, right? So us being able to help stimulate some of our vendors, our hotels, our local restaurants is very important to us because, you know, we're farmed mom and pop, right? You know, like, this is what, you know, Rehoboth Social is about, right? Helping one business.
One small business helping another.
You know, and that's what we want to do. So we've reached out to quite a few hotels.
Cooperation over competition.
Man, there we have it. Look at that.
C over C.
You said a mouthful. You said a mouthful, Tom. But that's what we're about.
Making t-shirts right now.
You know, so that's what we're about. We're just creating opportunities. While we have traffic, like I said, if we could get 2,000 plus people in the building and I could get 40 new people to cross Tanisha Shao's vendor table, and she has an opportunity to tell them people about her 24/7 Dads program, and she gets five fathers who are interested in doing that, it's a huge win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I love it. I just, you know, that's sort of just kind of what I was just talking about, though. It's like, you know, it's this seeking out because you want something, right? It's this seeking out because you want to be better. It's this seeking out because you want to improve. It's seeking out because you're accountable for maybe faults that we have that we need to get better at, right? That's where, to me, the learning takes place. If I'm doing this for a $50 gift card, this is now something I have to do. And it changes how I look at things for me. I get it. But I'm just saying, there's also this, you know, man, you guys are doing a lot of work and offering a lot of great things for a lot of people to learn a lot of great stuff. We need to understand that that's a gift.
Absolutely.
Right? There's value in that, right? Yeah. You know, it's you know, as soon as you're making $50 gift card, you know, I'm going to hit every spot, right? I'm still not even sure exactly what it is that this passport is, but it sounds like I'm checking things out, and if I check it all out, I get this. This becomes a task.
This is the deal, Tom. Not everybody's going to be able to win a hotel stay.
No, I know. No, I like the idea.
You might get selected, but
everybody's taking care of everybody. I get it. It's when people are taking participating in this, they want to have a reason to. I understand.
But you know, and our goal is that hey, Tanisha, I'm going to get people to cross your lease line. You gotta sell them the product. You know, this is your opportunity to get people who've never crossed your lease line to be in front of you with idle ears. Yeah, some people will just want to get their passport signed. But there, you know, the hope is that, hey, we're helping you create traffic. We're helping people cross your lease line. And you got to have your technicians and your professionals there to be able to articulate and tug at their heartstrings about your products. Because I could tell you one thing, like if Rehoboth Social is there and I can get 100 small business owners to come to your table and they say, well, Tom, we've never heard of you before. I'm doing this for the $50 gift card because I do want to win. But now that I know about Rehoboth Social, I'm going to try to get on there.
Never mind, I changed what I said. I think that's a great idea, Rob.
So
I guess my point is that what you guys are doing is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and this is like, and you're doing it for free.
Absolutely. So with everything, there's going to be pros and cons, and we understand that. Yeah. And not everybody's going to have the great intentions. Like, again, you're going to have to be good at reading people when they come to your table.
Sure.
You know, you're going to have to be, you know, what worked for the last person that came to your table might not work for the next group of people who come. So, you know, having good speakers there who can read a crowd, which literally we have all professionals there. Literally, we have a lady coming talking about life insurance and credit debt repair. And when people come to their table, they're not going to want to hear that.
Right.
Life insurance, you know what I mean? Repairing my credit. And I don't want to do that.
That's a hot topic.
I don't want to do that at a basketball. But I don't want to do that at a basketball game. But the idea is to get you some information, put a card in your hand and say, hey, listen, when you need us, we're available.
Listen, credit is, I think it ruins so many people. It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It makes you feel less than you should feel about yourself because of this credit score, right? It's almost like my human score. It's ridiculous. And if your human score isn't high, you feel bad about your human self, and it's terrible. And so I think that's, you know, it's these small little things that we can start fixing, you know, that create a big change in our life. You know, I wanted to say one of the, unfortunately, you know, I got divorced from my first wife many years ago, and I had to do this divorce class, you know, this class that you have to take when you get divorced. And I was like, oh, I don't want to take this class. But, you know, whatever. So I took the class, and I learned so much in this class about being a father and what not to do. And the biggest thing that I ever learned was not to use my child as a person to communicate with my ex-wife with. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, tell your mother, man, or tell your father. I didn't realize that. I mean, it's it makes sense, but I never really had thought about it. But one of the big things that I learned in that was this, how much kids carry burden with these, you know, tell your mother she owes me $50 or something, you know, this. And I don't know if I would have learned that unless I had gone through a program like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm imagining there's a lot of great things to learn, even for great fathers, right? Yeah. Because we're as great as we think, right? So, you know, I love that. And I'll always remember that. It was just for a program I didn't want to do. I didn't want to go to it, but I did it. And there was so much stuff that I learned, and it was a great, I had to, but I still learned, and it was great. And I'm sure that happens with the program that you're running now.
Yeah. And not only, even though we're father centered, we don't want to leave out the mothers. So we also have a curriculum called Understanding Dad, and that's just for females. And it helps us to understand fatherhood from the male's perspective.
Right.
So we try to, you know, cater to the entire family, even though we're like father centered. So I feel like it's a really good idea what Robbie and Making a Difference Coalition is doing. I think it'll really be a big like contribution to like Sussex County and like to people in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you never know what you need until you need it. So I feel like getting the information from the different vendors just to have it like in case. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think it'll be really good.
Right.
And there's two
vendors that are coming that I'm super excited about. Sussex Tech Adult Education Division.
Okay.
You know, they have a whole mission is like career path, you know, so literally they're going to be there. So if a kid goes and he's, you know, hey, I'm not sure about college now, and he doesn't know a trade, you can go to the adult education table and they can give you information and resources mm-hmm. about how to, you know, get into carpentry or get into electrical, get into criminal justice. And, you know, that's what this mission is about. Another guy that I'm super excited about, Jason Bankston, he has a program called Good Ground Seeds, and he talks about healthy foods. You know, you would really like him, Tom, because you're almost like you're really health guy, right?
Absolutely. I just ate some seeds.
Yeah. So
I love seeds.
Where's your water?
Where's your water, Tom?
It's brown right now, but I'll have regular clear water later. I am cutting out sugar.
right. And then, you know, again, and you know, most of the people that I've kind of like, hey, listen, Tom, you got to get this guy on here. You got to get this girl on here. They're going to be in the building. Like Addicted to Success is going to be there.
Sean Roach.
I'm introduce you to another cousin of mine named Troy Bailey. He has a
brand. I want one of them striped hoodies, Sean. Come on. You know, the ones on the sleeves.
Oh, the new one.
I shared it on Facebook, Sean. What's the deal?
The new one.
So I was hoping I'd get picked.
I got another guy there. His brand is called King's Closet. He has a boutique truck. He can pull up and outfit it for whatever the occasion is. It's masquerade. If it's costume jewelry, he can do it all and pull up on you. But
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, this is the year of the artist.
Absolutely.
Reading this, the fourth turning, right? It's the end of the 80-year seculum of time, and this is the end. This is the bad part, right? But it says in the end, the saving grace is going to be the millennials. And I know everybody's like, oh, what? The millennials? But it's the artist, right? I always say, prior to the pandemic, you might have been a server, but after the pandemic, you're painting a mural on the side of the restaurant you used to work in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this the life of the artist now. I mean, we see it in like TikTok and Instagram, and there's so many funny people and painters, and it's just, but we watch it in about 5-second clips, right?
So absolutely.
Everything has changed, but it is, you know, it's the year. I mean, this is, artists are thriving. I love it.
Absolutely.
A lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen between now and the 25th? There's a lot of wheels in motion.
A lot of wheels in motion. Like, A, I'm going to continue to promote the Journeys, Pathways, and Alternative Solutions Vendor Expo from 9 to 2 at the event. Simultaneously, while basketball is happening in the gym, in the lobby, you know, the vendors will be there. We're going to start pushing our food trucks, which we got 8 really good food trucks. So,
Joe?
Eat at Joe's.
He cooks at home though, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have the truck.
But you know, Eat at Joe's is coming up and coming at an event we have coming that everybody's gonna love because everybody loves to eat at Joe's.
He puts lobster and macaroni and cheese. That's very good.
Really?
Oh. Absolutely.
He brought this thing of macaroni and cheese with lobster and crab, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't even eat that. And
so Joe's my first cousin, and you know, just watching my grandma and my Aunt Daisy, which is his mom, navigate through the kitchen as a kid. It was just like, you know, your feet are just tapping the floor. You know what I mean? You're tucked all the way close to the table. And, you know, when food comes out, it's everybody, no talking. Everybody's just throwing down. It's just,
somehow I get on his message loop.
Yep.
So every day I get a picture of something phenomenal.
Did you see his tacos last night, Taco Tuesday?
I'm sure I did. I get a picture every day. And I'm like... One, I feel bad that I haven't bought more food from him.
And listen, Tom, he lives right around the corner from you.
That's I know. Absolutely. So what did he send? Well, go ahead.
He sent you tacos last night. I'm pretty adamant. And he had a line really long.
No, I just got the menu for the day. I didn't get a picture, but it was Taco Fat Tuesday.
Taco Fat Tuesday yesterday. Yeah,
he's great.
So, but Eat at Joe's will be at an event we have up and coming that's going to be tailor-made specifically around Eat at Joe's. You know, he's great.
Are you looking for people to participate in this as well, or are you full?
Well, we're loaded to the gills. Okay. Let me tell you what our food truck lineup looks like. Let's start with dessert.
Okay. Fraction. No, wait a minute. You can't start with dessert.
Yeah, we got to start with dessert. Some people eat dessert before dinner.
All right. They don't drink a lot of water, though.
No.
So one of our good friends near and dear to us, Jody and Diane from Fractured Prune. They came on the podcast, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're great. Love them.
Yeah, so Jody and Diane will be there.
The only non-franchise
Fractured Prune.
Fractured Prune, right.
Absolutely. And they will be having coffee, hot chocolate, and deep fried donuts.
Oh my god.
you know, and
that's delicious.
So then on top of that, we will have new food truck.
Okay.
Mary, did she come on Flipping Waffles?
Yeah, Mary, actually, she's great too. I love waffles.
There we have it. We're two for two, guys.
So we got waffles fruit. And donuts.
Waffles, okay. Donuts, and then we got my main man Tom from Rita's.
Mm. We do love some Rita's, and that's March, so
Rita's should be booming,
fired up again,
right? So three dessert trucks that don't clash, that don't, you know, they're not going to be fighting for competition. They all have a unique way of doing things, and it should be fun.
Yeah. You could probably build some sort of, between the donut, the waffle, and the Rita's, some sort of stacked dessert. I don't know if I'd want to put the red stuff on the waffle, though. Maybe the custard.
All right.
So Sounds awesome. Go ahead.
And then our healthy options, we're going to have Mrs. Chelsea from Bountiful Bowls. I know you know Chelsea.
Chelsea's been on a couple times.
She's been on the podcast a couple times.
Love Chelsea.
So for anybody who's looking for any fruit, any super
fruits.
So
she opened her, have you been to her new spot next to the new school?
No.
So she went into where Surf Bagel was going to go at the consortium.
Okay.
So she is right up the street.
Okay. I have to stop by and check her out this evening. So
yeah.
The next food, so actually now we're going to hit food. If we're going food, we have our house guy, which is Uncle B.
Mm. Brian.
Brian Thomas.
I get pictures of food every day from him too.
Brian Thomas, he's our in-house guy. He's actually a part of the coalition. He joined not too long ago. I love his energy. I love his vibe. And we love his food.
Well, he's funny too.
He will be there. He will have his grills out back. Ribs. He has these bowl options that he's going to be having this year. Some pulled pork, you know. So he's going to be there. So
text him right now.
We have another fan favorite in the building, Fat Vinny's Cheesesteaks.
I have not had Fat Vinny on.
You haven't had Fat Vinny.
I don't think so.
So listen, our guy Gene Washington is going to be in the truck, and he's the legend. So he was making cheesesteaks for Pizza Villa for about 100 years.
By the movies?
Pizza Villa. He was.
How many years?
Man, I'm going to say 100 years. Listen, because when you eat those cheesesteaks, it tastes like he's been making them for 100 years. Like he's got the sauce.
You ever sit in their bar? It looks like it's been there for 100 years.
You know what I mean? Hey, listen.
Hey, we love Pizza Villa.
Pizza Villa, listen, really? That's legendary. Pizza Villa is legendary. That's like a local fan favorite, cash only. True mom and pop,
I think they're taking cards.
No, never take cards, ever. Never, ever.
Okay.
All cash.
I remember. I came and visited Delaware when I was 15, so that's what, 35 years ago?
All right, Tom, don't tell me age.
No, 40 years ago, and we went to Pizza Villa. You had the movies, the boardwalk, and the ocean. That was it. All that was here.
And Pizza Villa was always a good time,
Pizza
right?
Villa was excellent.
Yeah, so Gene Washington, the legend, will be in Vinny's food truck whipping up these fantastic cheesesteaks, and it's going to be
so
fun.
Does he work at Pizza Villa?
No, he's not with Pizza Villa anymore. He moved on. I mean, he's cooking all over the place. We like Gene. You know, we love what he does, and when you get him on a flat top grill, he makes magic happen.
Oh my gosh, okay. Let's go, Gene.
Let's go, Gene. All right, so who do we have up next? We have up next First State Corn.
Been on the podcast.
Been on the podcast.
They're great. I was concerned because they moved.
They're everywhere. They're downtown next to the Spice and Tea Exchange.
Okay.
And they have their food trucks at that parking lot.
Not there anymore.
They're not there anymore?
No.
I just seen them in the front of Super G.
They're in front of Super G.
Okay. So
they can't be in front of Super G and that.
Well, no, they have like three food trucks.
No, they're not in front of not in front of Chick-fil-A anymore. They are now in Super G parking.
Yeah, who wants to compete with chicken anyway?
No, I mean completely different things. But I was like, oh shoot, they're gone.
But they do have a storefront, and when you go past there in the summertime, they got a line. You know, they're in there, they're making magic happen, and they have a very unique menu.
They have street corn, and oh my gosh, that's delicious.
So is that all it is? Just corn?
No, they do. A lot of things. I'll show you her menu soon.
Okay. Like, what could you possibly do with corn?
No, street corn. I mean,
stick stick in it, put a lot of butter and spices, and you just eat that stuff like it's from heaven.
Don't forget Old Bay, right? Don't forget Old Bay.
Is this from heaven? I think this corn's from heaven. That's what you do with it. You go on a mental trip, man.
Oh,
corn's good.
Oh, God. And so you know the food truck that sits in the parking lot of Fractured Prune? Mm-mm. Authentic Mexican.
Oh, no, but they're coming. Please tell me.
They're coming. We'll get Jody to bring them on the podcast. They always got a line. They got people coming from everywhere.
What's the name? They're coming?
They're coming. Listen, I honestly don't know the name right off the bat.
Original.
I had it written down, but they're going to be in the building. Jody and Diane are coming back from
who cares the name
on the 25th. Really? Listen, when have you ever been to a basketball game and there's been authentic Mexican in the parking lot?
This is a lot,
dude. I'm loving this. I am in shock. I am. First of all, congratulations.
If you leave hungry,
you are one of the hustlers.
If you leave hungry, it's your fault, right?
Right. And listen, and I love Mexican food. Listen, how many times you walk up to a food truck and even recognize the name anyway? It's the food.
If they got good food, they got good food.
That's right. It's that green. You know, remember the green
on,
one?
On the corner of South and West. Yeah. Go there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure.
The green one.
Yeah. So we got loads of food in the lobby, like I said, with the Vendors Expo. Good friend of mine, Zach Kaufman, will be in there. He'll be singing. He's a great guy, musician. I'm going to get him on your podcast soon.
Delaware Live Music Podcast.
Yep. So, like I said, inside, you know, my sister-in-law, she's going to be doing her sweet dip treats, which is her pretzels and her strawberries dipped in chocolate. She is basically a survivor of breast cancer. She's living through the process now. Mm. Her mission is to, you know, let people know who are survivors, who are going through. If you find a hobby, like hers is dipping chocolate.
Well, that's a bad
hobby. With these treats. No, I mean, well, it's a pastime. It makes her feel good.
That's from one dipper to another. I gotta watch my hobby.
So she's gonna
have a hobby.
She's gonna have some fruits there, some bananas, and some all kinds of great sweet dips there.
I love it.
And literally, she's going to be able, when I put people in front of her, she's going to be able to tell people about her mission, about her journey. She's going to be vulnerable, tell you about some of her downcomings and of course, her uprisings. Mm. And help people, you know, everybody knows somebody who has cancer now in 2023, right?
Yep.
And if you know somebody who has breast cancer and they need a boost, she'll have some information about breast cancer. She has some great people to talk to. But also, like I said, she wants to everybody to know that, you know, there's life beyond cancer. Right. You know, you can still have fun. You can still do things. And her chocolate-covered pretzels are amazing.
I'm ready.
Tom.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
If you leave the Ballers Classic.
Tanisha's like, I'm ready.
If you leave the Ballers Classic hungry, it's your fault. Right. And on top of that, we got 6 basketball games inside. Mm. That are going to be crazy because we have the best of the best of the best of the best athletes coming from Wilmington down. Our girls upstate team is crazy.
Wow.
I mean, I want to say at least like 8 of the girls are committed to colleges already. So
Is Cape's basketball team going to play?
So it's not their whole team. There's only individuals that participate in the Ballers Classic.
Okay.
So we do have Drew Zimmerman from Cape and Lupin.
Yeah.
He's coming. He's in the building.
Okay.
He's a fan favorite from Cape. He's a point guard. He's flashy. He talks trash. Mm. And everybody loves him.
Okay.
You know, he's got the curly hair. He's got the bounce.
You know? The flow.
Yeah, he's got the flow. You know, hey, listen, just to throw a couple names out there in terms of the top athletes are coming. Dallas Pierce is in the building. Mm. She committed to UMass.
Okay.
Emma Kirby's coming. We got 2 eighth graders from Ursula. One being Giselle Banks, and then she's ranked on the Nike list.
Wow.
She's in 8th grade. She's going to be playing with those top girls, and she's going to put on a show. So some of our guys that will be in the building from Delaware, there's a really good list. Seifert, Brenton Rickards, Avion Matthews, Indian River, Brendan Bradford. You're talking about in the North, we got, just to throw 2 or 3 names out there, Drew Zimmerman. We have, Denham Perkins.
Okay.
Jaheim Harrell. He just scored 50 points for Dover and got his 1,000 points recently.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
So
it
we,
sounds like it's gonna
we
be
got
amazing.
The best of the best. And then you're talking about in Salisbury, just in terms of that Salisbury area, we got Antoine Wilson.
They're all coming from Salisbury.
They're coming
here?
From Salisbury, like Wahi, Parkside, Bennett, Decatur. We got all of those kids coming. There's a guy from Queen Anne named Jai Roy. He's really good. By the way, Wahi just beat Queen Anne in the conference championship game last night. I think they're 5 in a row. Wahi is they're killing it. We got three or four players from Wahi coming.
Wow,
Leatherberry. You gotta come and watch the show. It's gonna be hopefully the best of the best basketball that we have seen here in a while from our locals.
It all sounds like you get to support local business.
Absolutely.
Food trucks. Basketball.
Mm-hmm. Vendors Expo.
It's in March. Nothing going on in March. We're just talking about March is the worst month ever invented because you think it's getting warm and it isn't. It's a fake out.
We've been blessed to have good traffic. So there's only one fee.
Okay.
$20, okay. All day pass. Don't show up to the last game complaining about $20.
Okay.
Price doesn't compromise if you just choose to come to the last game.
Okay.
$20 for all day. First tip off is at 9:45, our elite eighth grade. There's 12 players to every eighth grade team, 11 players to every girls team, and 10 players to every boys team. So 128 kids total.
All right.
So, yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be high flying. Our media department has been doing a great job at giving us a lot of coverage on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. So, like I said, anybody out there, just tune in if you can. The Ballers Classic, just like it sounds, THE, Ballers Classic.
Well, and $20 is the new $10. Right.
Yeah, but you get 6 games for $20. Where else?
Well, I mean, everything's just gone up. You say $20 and it's like, well, that's
Slammed onto the Beach was charging 18 to $20 for 3 games.
Yeah.
You know, hey, listen, the price is low.
Right.
We want it to be economical. We want people to fill the stands. We want our locals and our not locals to come and show our kids love. You know, you show them some love.
Yep.
Tell them they can do it. Hey, listen, we encourage everybody in the building. When you see an athlete walk by, throw an affirmation at them.
I love it.
Tell them something positive.
Yeah. I told my son we were going to go. He's like, we're going? I go, yeah. So he's excited.
Tom from Rehoboth Social will be courtside.
That's right. With my son, Sam. Sam.
Hey, listen. Sam. Sam the man. Sam. Hey, listen, Sam's going to Temple. Sam's going to Temple, man.
David's going to Temple.
Oh, David's going to Temple?
Yeah. Sam's 11. David's
Sam's
11?
Yeah. Oh, man. Sam.
A little nervous about that.
Sam's going to have higher ambitions than Temple then.
Yeah, I don't know. Hope he'll be a hairdresser. I'm just kidding.
No.
Hey,
he might want to.
Hey,
he
it's a great business. To. I got a business.
I know you've been killing it, man. Every time I call Tom, he's like, Rob, I got to call you back. I'm doing hair.
I'm foiling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he does it all.
Nice.
Well, I was going to tell you how awesome your hair was, but I didn't want you to feel uncomfortable.
Like,
ease up, buddy. No, your hair looks great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I own a hair salon.
Sorry?
I own a hair salon.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. It's right next door.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Hey, listen, Tom, he called me a hustler. Tom's a hustler.
You're a hustler.
What about me?
You're a hustler too. But, you know, the hustle means like this, you know, just always, like I'm just running, like either here, I'm getting calls from Rob, I'm getting texts from Rob, I'm seeing posts from Rob. It's just this constant, you can't forget about Rob, right? He's just keeping it hot. And I love that. And you see a lot of people, and I know you're a hustler. I know that. I'm just, I call them Instagram hustlers is really what the term came from. So, which I appreciate. I mean, when I was a kid, we had no platform, right? We didn't have a platform to be unique or to try to bring attention to anything. It was, you know, maybe a sign with a stick, right? That was our Instagram. And so now that's the world we live in today. People have a platform. The guy saw this great interview with Mark Zuckerberg. He said, all we ever wanted to do was give people a platform to be people. And I think that it's great. And
that's
we see that today. We get to see, you know, everybody kind of doing their thing. I'm looking forward to this. How can people learn about it? Instagram, website,
you could always go to our Facebook page, Making a Difference Coalition.
Making a Difference Coalition.
Yep. And or you can go to the Ballers Classic Facebook page, which is The Ballers Classic. The Instagram is at The Ballers Classic. I mean, it's pretty simple.
And Tanisha, how can we learn about your? Is there a website? How can we find out more information on the stuff that you're, all the great stuff that you're doing over there?
Yes, there is. I'm sorry.
Rob.
Yeah. Sorry. So the website is www.dffcdads.org. And also we have monthly meetings on the last Thursday of every month. So next Thursday we'll have a meeting and the guest speaker will speak on expungement. So we provide dinner and we encourage the whole family to come out. We have childcare and we also have speakers and vendors coming in every month. So, and
where is that located at?
Oh, First State Community Action Agency in Georgetown from 6 until 7.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good. Listen, guys, thank you.
Hey, Tom.
Thank you.
Before we get out of here, I got to do a shout out.
Go ahead. Shout it out.
Okay, listen, there's a couple of people that we have been working behind the scenes that cannot go unnoticed.
Okay.
That's Arthur Jones, Brian Jones, and my entire team for Making a Difference Coalition. Appreciate you guys for everything you've done. If it had not been for them pushing me and sending me all these crazy text messages every day, none of this would be possible. Just a few of our sponsors, Preston Motors, Caliber Collision, thank you guys, Tanger Outlets, you know, and company. You know,
cool.
Spice and Tea Exchange is going to be in the building with us.
That's awesome.
Like I said, it's just Tom. I'm trying to get everybody to come out. Why be divided when we can be together?
Yeah. Absolutely. Competition. Right. No, it's a cooperation over competition.
Yeah. So let's find a way to win together.
Yeah.
Right? Let's find a way to win together. You've been talking about this day one. Like, let's find a way to do it together, Rob.
Yeah.
Like, and if we can find a way to do it together, we'll create a platform. Like, Fatherhood Coalition is going to be honoring somebody at the event.
All right.
So listen, we'll create a platform for you at our biggest moments. Like, we want to help out. We want to be involved. And we don't want credit for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I, you know, and you keep, you know, shouting out to the podcast, which I appreciate. But, you know, this podcast is free, right? This is about just helping out.
It's not free time.
It doesn't have to be about the pod. You know, we want to go, and I'm so excited to come sit down there with you. But, you know, this, we're fine. We don't need any more promotion. This is something I like to do that gives you a person like yourself a platform to do cool things.
Well, we're going to be yelling Rehoboth Social Podcast throughout the venue. So just, you know.
It was funny. I did the Harlem thing and everybody's like, from Cape, da da da, and from Cape, and from the Rehoboth Social, Tom Arcino. And I'm like, oh boy. I come running out. Hey, got a headband on. Let's go.
Did you wear a headband?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was like, who the hell is that guy? I could have been a teacher. All right, well, listen, guys, thank you so much. Did you shout out everybody?
Fred Thompson from Hampton Inn. Our guy. Fred will be in the building. Fred will be in the building that day. I love what he's doing. I love what he's about. And like I said, we're getting it done.
I love it. Well, and thank you for letting me be part of it. I appreciate it.
You got it, Tom.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk later. Bye-bye.